You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jay Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Beatonoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up for the last half an hour of the show, we will lighten it up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news, talk about lighter, sillier things so we don't all crack up. Today we're going to talk about what did you like as a kid and now as an adult you like something else? Or what did you hate as a kid and now as an adult you like it? This springs from today is National Chocolate Day, and we started talking about milk chocolate versus dark chocolate, and I very much feel there is a generational gap there.
Get ready for a walker or a fist to come out the skies, because I feel like a gripe is coming.
And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. We are doing Halloween-themed tisbets this week. Today it is the Dirty Dancing edition, so stay tuned for that. Right now, we are delighted to be joined by Corrine Hendrickson. She is the co-founder of Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. Good morning, Corrine. It's good to see you. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. And a follow-up from the last time, I still haven't gone major grocery shopping, FYI.
You haven't?
You haven't gone?
Nope. Yeah, so I've gone to get like the basics, but I haven't had to actually go shopping still since the last time I was on.
Wow. You've been stocking up well then.
Is it like an underground bunker with like 7 years of soups?
Not quite 7 years.
Well, I applaud that kind of discipline.
Preparation.
Yeah.
That kind of prep. Absolutely. Well, there is something going on in Madison tonight. We've been talking a lot about childcare, and it just seems like with everything else that's going on in the world, that's one of those things that has fallen on the list of priorities. This is still a big issue in Wisconsin and across the country with people struggling to afford childcare or even find childcare. Because like you had to close yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, definitely. And also with everything that's coming down, a lot of people that work in childcare, the educators themselves, rely on food stamps. We rely on the Affordable Care Act. And so also part of the work I do with Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed is we're in contact constantly with providers across the state, and almost every group center has at least one or more employees that they might lose because they won't have access to healthcare anymore, or that they're worried about not being able to feed their own children and their own families next month when the food stamps don't come through. And so this all still is impacting. And then the families that we're providing the care for, they're the ones not accessing it. So we're trying to find resources for them and connect them and get them, you know, food pantry. Do a lot of programs are doing things on their own to try and like become a hub. And so back to childcare is so important. It's a foundational community, you know, place for people to get access to programs and to have access to those other things.
I think it's really, really important that we repeat what you just said, because there is this trope, and again, I see this on social media, some of the things that I follow. Everybody who gets SNAP is a lazy moocher who has never worked, and they're living high on the hog, apparently having filet mignon and lobster all the time. And there are plenty of working people who use both SNAP and are also on the ACA. There are a lot of farmers who are on the ACA.
Absolutely. And when you make $13.66 on average as a child care educator, you're qualifying. Full stop. Family child care is $7.42 an hour. Most qualify. And unless they have a spouse that makes enough, that's what they're accessing. Or they're under 26 because they can still be on their parents. Sorry, my dog's barking.
Your dog is very upset about this too.
Yes, your dog is not happy. You
He's
tell
never
him.
Done that before. Yeah, so...
She's gonna go.
Okay, all right, cool. I mean, and that was exactly, Jane, what I was going to say too, is that there has been a push from the right to demonize and vilify anyone who takes a benefit by just saying they are lazy, they don't deserve it, it's fraud.
They're moochers.
They're moochers. And really, when it comes down to it, is these are benefits that are available to many people, and these benefits know no region. They know definitely how much you make a year, but these affect small business owners, farmers, everyone that politicians like to hold up on a pedestal and say they're the backbone of our country. Yeah. Well, the backbone also needs help, and when you vilify the programs and then threaten to and or cut them, the backbone is going to get cut out as well, and so we're not seeing viable solutions. And that's something we're going to talk about a little later as far as funding, but that you saw with childcare funding in the budget. But it's the narratives that are being pushed that force people to one side of the aisle or the other. And that is the frustrating thing, because talking to Will Westmoreland, who's a farmer in Missouri, he's like, I need the ACA. The childcare industry needs this funding.
People who work at Walmart need the ACA and food stamps.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. So tonight, we'll segue nicely.
There you go.
Well done.
So tonight we're going to be presenting the National Association for Family Child Care created a documentary last summer, and I'm one of the four providers, talking about the importance of child care, what we do for the community, how we care for and educate the next generation, but also partner with parents. And so we're presenting that, but then also talking about the Danish model, because in Finland, in the 50s or 60s, they put it together. It's very comprehensive. The provider gets paid X amount of dollars to take care of three children in their home, and the government pays off the top 30% of the bills for the house and everything like that. So that's kind of their operational cost,
okay,
you might say. But then also they get together once a week, and then because they're contracted with the state, not the parents, if a provider is sick or has to go to an appointment, the other providers in the area will pick up those kids if they have space. Because you're not dealing with different parents and contracts and dollars. It's just, this is part of the service. And then those providers get together once a week. So the kids all know each other and they meet in a community hub. And so tonight we're going to talk about what if, and wouldn't it be great? The other thing is, it's not punitive. So if a parent is running late, they don't get in trouble from their licensor for not being closed on time, operating out of their hours. No, the provider calls their licensor. The licensor calls the parent and the parent's employer and says, why aren't they here? And so they're the ones holding it accountable, because it's not our fault, as the child care program.
Sure.
If the parent doesn't show up, it's like, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know. And so they really work as partnership in tandem and respect the child care professionals for what they do. And so we're going to talk about how we could maybe make that happen here in the United States as part of a comprehensive universal system.
This meeting is happening tonight from 6 to 7:30 at 1418 Van Hise at UW-Madison. It's free. Do people have to sign up, Corrine, or can they just show up?
Nope, they absolutely can just show up.
Great.
And I put in the show notes the We Can Facebook page as well. So people can go to that Facebook page. They can see the information on it and just follow the group and talk about, or and find out what you all are talking about, because this is just for We Can is just one facet of what you all do with your organization. And really quick, for people who don't know, can you give us a brief history of the creation of We Can? Because here's the thing, folks, what you need to know about Corrine is that she does everything all the time, almost all at once. She's never not doing something. So the fact that like you wear all these hats is no surprise to me, but this is an important organization you've been a part of. Can you tell us about the roots?
Yeah, so in 2020, my colleague and co-founder, Brooke Legler, she owns a group center here in New Glarus. We got together after presenting No Small Matter at the Capitol with Senator Erpenbach, and we had started doing those presentations across the state. So we started with a group of people already. We had a network that we kind of were working on, and then COVID hit, and then everybody was looking to us as a trusted resource, because our Department of Children and Families did not have a mailing list of all of us to get a hold of. It was a really weird, like a few of us knew things. And so we would try and disseminate that information between us, WECA, SFTA, and other supports. Our licensors didn't even have all our emails. So that's all been, it's changed, it's better. But we created because the schools were getting all of these resources and they weren't even open. And we had the kids and we weren't getting the resources. The school got shipped the PPE, we did not. And so we worked with the department and pushed back and said, hey. And so then they ended up partnering us with the schools. Most of us, the school said yes. And then we went to the school to pick up the the things to take back. We worked, basically started as advocacy between childcare professionals. We expanded then as COVID continued and funding started coming, we expanded to include parents. We expanded to include other business owners and employers and community members because they all started to realize what it is that childcare does for everyone. And so our group went from a couple hundred people on a mailing list. Luckily at the time, everything online was like, we learned Zoom, we learned YouTube,
right.
You know, as
right.
we went. Yeah. And it really helped us bring people together from across the state, especially in the rural area. Most of our 2,000-ish members are from the rural area because they are more isolated, have fewer resources, don't have those connections with other providers like you do in the Dane County and Milwaukee County, because there's just more of them to
sure.
do that with.
Sure.
And so we're very, very rural, and we educate people on the political process. We educate people on what's out there. The biggest thing we do, though, is help people understand it doesn't have to be this way. It could be different. And our culture as a society, lower you make, the lower you're worth.
Mm.
And so really building up people, parents and others and providers, that we are valuable and we deserve to be listened to. And so that's kind of what we've been doing.
And I think that's something that you just brought up now that we've been talking about for a long time, as far as protecting and making sure those folks in the rural areas are looked after, helped, given resources, connection. If you're just joining us, by the way, I'm Matt Naranera. We're speaking to Corrine Hendrickson, who's the co-founder of Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed, also known as WECAN. And there's going to be an event tonight in Madison talking about childcare approaches that will be in the show notes. Because, Corrine, that's something it seems like every decision that's being made coming out of Washington and or Madison is about how the rural areas are going to be hit and hurt by it. So it's groups like yours that really come together and say, if they're not going to protect us, we got to protect us too, because whether it's closure of hospitals, closure of schools, no access and I want to say this, early development childcare, because that's what you did and that's what you do. That's the industry. It's not daycare.
No.
Daycare is great. Don't get me wrong.
But it's a different thing.
But this is school. This is education. This is getting your kids ready for life. And when rural folks don't have access to it, they don't know where to turn to. Thankfully, you and other people have resources available.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's our goal, is to help educate and empower people. And not only do we care for and educate the children, but we're partnering with those parents. Those parents, 99% have never held a baby, I swear, these days, because the families are smaller and they just haven't had. My own husband never held a baby until almost when ours was born. I had a cousin born. Yes, I'm that much older than my youngest cousin. And he was, held the first baby of his life in his mid-20s. I'm like, what is this?
Did he hold the baby out like this? Like, I don't know what to do with it.
Hold it like a football.
He kind of did and was very sweaty.
Oh, that's cute. I know. That's
but
so cute.
It is. But that's part of it, is we're partnering with parents and we're a resource. So when they need diapers, we know where to go.
Yeah.
When they have a question about child development, we can assure them, yes, your child's doing great. Or, ooh, we've noticed that too. This is what we should do next. And when you don't have that and parents feel isolated, that's when scary, sad things happen. And also just that isolation, the mental health, all of those types of things. And so that's part of what we do, is we also try to provide resources for people, trainings on special education, and we're very member driven.
We're going to continue our conversation with Corrine Hendrickson of WECAN. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Corrine Hendrickson, the co-founder of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. And we're talking about a couple of meetings that you can attend. But before we get to that, we want to do some clarification. You were talking about the Danish model. It was actually called something else, Corrine, right?
Yeah, so I have said Finland. I meant Denmark.
Okay.
So that's
yeah. Cleared up. My question is, what do they see as the value of these programs in Denmark that we're missing here?
So what we're missing here is the fact that children are respected and honored, and actually not just political pawns. They actually put the programs into place, and families. So they have paid, robust paid family medical leave. They have robust paid leave, you know, throughout a person's life. And they also have higher minimum wages and just quality of life in general. And so it's the values of that, of the Scandinavian countries that are really coming through. And Wisconsin does have a lot of those roots. Like, we had the very first four-year-old kindergarten because we have the German Scandinavian, you know, roots in our, in our country and our culture. And so that is still here. And that's our sense of community. And that's why we pull together so often as needed and necessary. But you can't do that to fill in all the gaps when our government is refusing to do their part.
Well, and it just kills me when I hear J.D. Vance and Dr. Oz talking about how the USA is under-babied and we need more babies. And why aren't women having 6 and 8 children? Because it's expensive and they need things like childcare.
Yeah. Well, and even the health insurance. If you don't have health, if you have, you know, your health insurance, you're spending $20,000 to $50,000 to have the baby.
It just seems like we were talking about this in the commercial when we were discussing the Finland versus Danish versus all those countries, and those, all of those nations over there, and that is Scandinavia, all those, they have a basic idea that the investment on their people will yield results for the country, the economy
as a whole.
And also another thing too, morale of the people. One of the things that people other in other countries enjoy, and don't get at me saying the healthcare is broken. There's a discussion to be had, but people feel safe knowing that they're not going to have to go bankrupt getting childcare or healthcare. And that provides a sense of high morale as well as pride in your country. So I think looking at these options for what you're doing tonight in Madison, Corinne, is definitely a good start to a conversation about what can be done to change things for the better, especially for our kids who apparently are important to us. We've been told by politicians they're important, but
we love babies.
We love babies, but once they're born, I don't have time for them. Boogh.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so tonight we're going to be starting the conversation about what could be. Tomorrow there is an event in Greenfield, Wisconsin, where, and it's a public forum because SB 322 was introduced for $480 million direct payments to continue child care counts when Senator Mark Lyon and Representative Bourne took child care counts out of the budget. And so the week of action that you guys covered, that we were up at the Capitol, that's what came out of it. But that bill has been sitting in the committee since then. And so Senator Carpenter is actually on that committee. And so he, or not, Senator Larson, sorry, is on the committee, and Senator Carpenter lives over there. And so they've agreed to hold a public forum where we have the opportunity to come in and state why this is so important to have this funding come through. And that's what we're going to be talking about. So this funding is a down payment. It is not the solution. It is to keep programs going, to raise wages a little bit, to help with some of that tuition coming down. But we actually also want to look towards an employer contribution. I saw a lot of comments that employers should be paying. Well, what employers can pay? You know, which ones?
Right.
Your small businesses can't. Your farmers can't.
Right.
Your nonprofits can't.
Right.
Your government entity, well, that's the taxpayers, right? So we're looking at what Vermont did. And what they did is they called it an employer contribution. And it's 0.05% of a payroll tax that is paid by the employer on behalf of their employees and themselves. And that doubled in Vermont the amount of money each program received so that they could pay their people better, be more solvent. And they have seen an exponential increase in a year of the number of providers that exist. The teachers' turnover has gone down. You know, it's so weird how that works, right?
Isn't that odd? And then,
yeah. And then your small businesses, like your farmers or your sole proprietors, they only pay 0.011 because they're not going to be using as much. And so it's far more affordable for them as well. And so we've talked with our partners, Farmers Union, Main Street Alliance, other small business groups, and even some larger businesses. And they've done the math and like, this is super, super cheap and it would do this. And we're like, yes. And it's working in Vermont. So I push back on the idea of employer tax credits and things like that, because you're basically giving money to the businesses to do the right thing and then still not supporting the child care programs and the teachers because it's replacing money. So yes, it helps the parents a little bit, but not really, because it's not increasing the revenue in any way to meaningfully make change. And so I push back on the tax credits, because why are we putting a middleman in here? Why are we making it only the wealthy and well-connected can access this?
Right.
Because then they're going to get all the spots, and what happens to everybody else? And so we need to build a system from the bottom up that's inclusive of everyone and stop putting in these, you know, bills just to make it look like you're doing
like they're doing something. Exactly.
They're bills that are good for a press conference.
Yeah. And the one thing I do want to say is, and we think we do, we are not against protesting in public. I was at the No Kings protest, last one. But if you are feeling like, what can I do? Go to meetings like this. Mm-hmm. That's something that you can do and get educated about it. So then when you go back to your community, you can explain to other people. It's really important.
And both tonight's event in Madison, tomorrow's event at the Greenfield Public Library, if I'm not mistaken, are going to be in the show notes. And if you can't be at the event tomorrow night, you can submit comments via a link that will be on the show notes as well. So you can still let your voice be heard, even if you can't make it. Protesting is great, but also voicing your opinion is necessary in this process.
Call your lawmakers, myvote.wi.gov. They love to hear from you. Corrine Hendrickson with We Can has been our guest. Thank you so very much, Corrine. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.
We have news coming up next. We'll come back with a little audio sorbet and lighten things up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news. Hopefully have a couple of laughs.
Ha ha! Done.
Better than that. Today is National Chocolate Day, everybody.
I'm convinced this day happens like 30 times a
year. The chocolate lobby is very strong. And so we were talking about milk chocolate versus dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I loved milk chocolate. That was the only thing. You couldn't get me near dark chocolate.
Can't get enough of milk chocolate.
And now I love dark chocolate, and I wouldn't eat milk chocolate.
Not at all?
Not if I can avoid it.
Okay.
No.
I feel like if you like dark chocolate, which I do, I love dark chocolate, it's almost like you have to seek it out too, because I think that I'm trying hard. I don't feel like Big Chocolate sponsors the show.
Big Chocolate is yet to be a sponsor of our show.
Although Nestle does own like 95% of the world. I feel like when they say... when it's a big label and they say dark chocolate, it's not really dark chocolate. It's still sweet, because good dark chocolate should have a certain bitterness to it.
It depends upon the amount of
cacao.
Of cacao, yeah.
What are you, like 65%, 72%?
I would say 65 is probably pretty
65
good.
And between 65 and 72. And then after that, you're like, this is Baker's chocolate. Get out of my face.
Yeah, and I did that once as a kid.
My father did that to me once as a child. He thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was I found the greatest thing in my mother's kitchen, and I found that Baker's chocolate, and I thought, I'll show her.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some candy. And I took a big bite out of that Baker's chocolate. That was the one and only time I ever did that. I'll tell you that. So this got us talking about things that we grew to like as adults.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved milk chocolate as a kid.
Yeah.
Now I love dark chocolate. I hated carrots as a kid, and now I like them.
Oh, okay.
But that has to do with prep.
Yeah. I mean,
has to do with prep.
That's another thing we discussed. It's that, you know, when I was young, milk chocolate was the thing. The bird was the word, and I loved milk chocolate. And don't try to give me dark, because I had the same experience you did. Only came from my father, who was a slight prankster. He'd be like, hey, do you want some chocolate? I'm like, of course I am. I'm a 10-year-old and I'm chubby. Of course I want chocolate. And I chomped down and I'm like, and it just came. It was like some morsels.
Yes.
Morsels. And they just come dropping out of my face. Cause I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, that's Baker's chocolate. I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that has no reference
for
you.
He did the same thing to me with buttermilk. He's like, do you want a glass of milk? I'm like, of course I do. I'm a chubby 10-year-old. Give me milk and give me chocolate. And I drank the buttermilk. I'm like, oh, what is this? He goes, it's buttermilk. I'm like, you're a terrible person.
Why did you do that to me?
He was a low-key prankster. Didn't get big, but he would, if he saw the moment.
The gleam, you could see the gleam in his eye?
Yeah, and I didn't get, he only did it a few times. And I think he retired, because then it's like, where does the trust erode completely? But yeah, I mean, definitely when I was young, I don't even know if I was aware of dark chocolate as a thing. Because, you know, that's a more in the past 10 years as far as a
big thing,
a big delicacy, thing. A choice. you know, dark chocolate's always been around, but it wasn't marketed the way it is now.
Absolutely. So what did you hate as a kid, but now you love as an adult? 855-752-4842. That is our question today on Audio Sorbet. We can even just talk about chocolate. Milk chocolate versus dark chocolate. Calvin, I'm pretty sure that we know where you're going to come down on the chocolate debate, being our resident young person. What is your what would be your chocolate preference?
Yeah, I'm a milk chocolate all the way. Plain dark chocolate is gross to me. If it's packed with something else, like if it's dark chocolate with like almonds and it's mostly almonds, I don't mind it. But yeah, definitely prefer milk chocolate.
You are a picky eater by your own admission.
Yes.
But what's funny is the how would I put it? The compromises or the, you know, the points of like, I will eat this only if this, this, and this. I will eat
it's food rules.
I will eat a half a pound of lettuce only if it's swimming in ranch. You know, like you have I don't want to say standards.
Yes, rules.
You have rules.
It's got food rules.
You have food. Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, food rules. We've talked about that many times.
Yes. Okay. We all have them.
But I will say this, and I said this to Calvin earlier, I would love to know your opinion in, say, like 10, 15 years, because I didn't like dark chocolate. I wouldn't prefer it when I was younger. I would always go for milk chocolate. I still enjoy some milk chocolate here or there, but it's like in those small pieces, small bites. I'm not just going to mow down on a big bar of chocolate. It's going to be more like, it's kind of like what you're talking about, Calvin. Like we, for a while, would have the take five candy bar. They have them in bite sizes now, and we would have them around the house, and perfect. That's done.
Little snack, sweet and salty.
But I couldn't do, if you handed me a Hershey's bar right now, I'd be like, I can't.
Yeah.
You want to share this?
I'm the same way. Yeah. I wouldn't. Yeah. Not going to do a Hershey's bar. What food did you hate as a kid, but now you love it as an adult? That's our audio sorbet today. 855-752-4842. We have PJ on the live stream. Tomatoes. I would get throw up sick from tomatoes as a kid. Now I eat tomato. No problem.
Yeah.
I love tomatoes.
I came to a bunch of food when I tried vegetarianism a long time ago because I was not a vegetable eater. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of options for vegetarians. So it was like, well, I better try some things. And tomatoes, I love tomatoes. Especially popping a cherry tomato. Oh, my goodness gracious. Get in my life. I love them.
Right now.
Right now.
Join me right now.
Bring these.
Oh, we got lots of texts coming in. Jack from Merrimack says, most of the best things I've learned in life, I've learned from women I've been in a relationship with. As a kid, I didn't like salads of any kind. My first love taught me to love them, which I still do to this day.
Now, I just imagine them sitting at a dinner table together and...
just eating salad?
Well, no, her like, Jack, try this salad.
Have a piece of lettuce.
Have you ever tried Thousand Island dressing? In my head, she's French. I love a vinaigrette.
855-752-4842. What did you hate as a kid and now you love as an adult?
Yeah.
Brett from Brown Deer documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
They were not very good when I was a kid. I hated them. I thought they were boring. Now I'm hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
I love documentaries.
Sarah in Green Bay listening on WISS. Ham salad sandwich spread.
Those are...
I love that.
Mm.
With Fritos. The Frito scoops?
No, thank you.
Well, Sarah, try the ham salad sandwich spread with Frito scoops. It'll blow your mind.
Anything with Frito scoops. I mean, I make a killer chili dip that is designed for the Frito scoops. What is ham salad sandwich spread?
It's essentially chopped up ham.
Yeah.
With sweet pickles. Oh, God, that's going to send him off.
Well, folks, it's been fun. I quit.
A little sweet pickle and probably a little mayo.
Okay.
It's really good. It looks revolting.
That just sounds like a different version of a tuna sandwich, essentially. Minus the demonic sweet pickles. Throw some dill pickles in there. Chop up some dill pickles. I'm down. No. Absolutely.
Then it's not even him.
What are you talking about?
855. We're just going to ignore him. 855-752-4842. What did you hate as a kid and now you love as an adult? Chris Alfheim listening in Appleton on WISS. No, as a kid, yes, as an adult, oysters and Braunschweiger.
Yeah.
Not together, obviously.
Oysters, I just could, I've tried a couple times.
And have you?
It's just like swallowing a small tongue. And
oh.
Braunschweiger, honestly, that was something I loved as a kid. And now if you put it in front of me, you'd be like, hard pass.
I just bought some.
Great.
My father would have that on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
He would have a piece of toast with just a slice of Braunschweiger on it with butter.
Oh.
Because that's really good for your heart. let me just slather on some mayonnaise. I'll just take a bath in mayonnaise right away. But yes, I do love Braunschweiger. Mm-hmm. Can't do oysters.
No.
Can't do it.
Oysters, clams, the whole, like anything, the mussels, all that stuff is just
the
never
mollusks.
Never been my jam. I've never tried snails or that stuff. But yeah, it's, I can't say I don't like it. But mussels and oysters and clams, I don't know how those are all different. They are. They're just not my jam.
What food did you hate as a kid that now you love as an adult? Mm-hmm. 855-752-4842. Casper and Madison listening on WAUK Brussels sprouts. Mostly because my parents boiled them.
Yes.
That's a whole other discussion we're going to have about boiling food. I think that was a 1950s
yes.
thing.
Parents of America who grew up in the 40s and 50s and then raised us in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, why did you hate us?
Why did you boil everything?
Oh, my God.
My mother used to, we had boiled potatoes and boiled carrots, which I hated.
Did you ever look at boiled chicken? It's the only food that looks depressed after you're done doing it. It's so, like, it's a weird color.
Back to Brussels sprouts with Casper. You got to cut them in half, season them. Toss them in olive oil, bake sprouts at 400 in the oven for 20 minutes. Now I love them.
Yeah. Oh, no, and that's the thing. Brussels sprouts is one of those borderline foods for me. If you just hand me some Brussels sprouts, I'm not going to do it. If they're boiled, get out of my life. If they're pickled in a Bloody Mary, I will definitely take them. But this, I feel like in the past 5 years, the cuisine of baked or air-fried Brussels sprouts with a spice or a sauce.
Yeah, they become a thing.
They become, that crunchiness is absolutely delicious. But yeah, just hand me a Brussels sprout. I'm like, great, can I
throw this at someone?
Yeah, exactly.
Will this harm someone? Yeah. Audio sorbet, today we're talking about something you hated as a kid, and now you love it as an adult. Harry texting in says mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I would eat mushrooms as a kid either. They looked weird.
Well, really quick, Brett and Brown Deer, it could be food. It could be anything. Don't worry. That was a doctor.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
This isn't just food, but we're talking about food because we're
that's,
us.
That's where it started.
Mushrooms, for me, it was another thing. And Calvin, let me, your thoughts on this. Like, I feel like I cannot identify with what you're saying as far as like the I don't want to say contingency, but I'm not thinking of the word right now, but like how I will eat something as a kid.
You have conditions.
I would eat mushrooms, specifically canned mushrooms on pizza, but I wouldn't eat mushrooms anywhere else on anything else as a kid. Now, mushrooms, I will use it to dip. Like I'll chop up mushrooms like nice
raw mushrooms.
Use it with hummus, throw it in. Like I, for a while, was doing a lot of like ramen noodles. So I would just take mushrooms and I would throw them in, let them do their thing, and then throw the noodles in and make this wonderful broth. Yeah, I love mushrooms. I'm great for
big mushroom, obviously, funding Greg Bach over here. 855-752-4842. Tony on the live stream says, air fry everything.
It's the greatest invention in the kitchen ever. I mean,
yeah, just air fry it.
Air frying.
That fixes a lot of stuff.
Ahi tuna steaks, it's a total of 6 minutes to make them in the air fryer, and they're perfect and delicious. I'm going to air fry when I get home. I can't wait. Cannot wait.
Look at that. And Tony says, too, as a kid, I hated onions. Now I put them in lots of stuff. Yeah. I think that's a pretty bit. Yeah, kids don't like it. Again, your palate
exactly
changes.
Well, and that thing, too, is like when you introduce it slow. Like I remember as a kid, I'm like, well, I like onions on a McDonald's cheeseburger because they're chopped up in little pieces. And that flavor gets to you versus maybe if you go to a place and it's chopped thick and you're like, oh, this is all
this
onion.
This is way too much.
Yeah.
All right. When we return, we're to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Dirty Dancing Halloween edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I just want to share one more text that came in before the break. We were talking about what you hated as a kid and now you love as an adult for Audio Sorbet. Robert in La Crosse, listening on WLCX, says, I avoided root vegetables. Now I like them. Side note, hated cheese and milk, and I still do.
Interesting.
I must say no cheese in or on anything when I order in any and every type of restaurant in Wisconsin. Robert, that's...
So you eat nowhere.
That's it, right? We're in Wisconsin. We put cheese on everything.
Welcome to Cheesy Cheeses. Wait, what?
Yeah, well, good luck. I'm sure it's challenging.
Yeah, it's... But thank you for getting in touch with us.
Absolutely.
And Andrew from Maine, yes, nap time qualifies for the topic at hand. You may have hated it. That's the thing, is kids hated nap time.
Now as an adult.
You tell people when you take a nap.
I'm going to take a nap. Yeah. Aren't we excited? Coming up on the show tomorrow, in hour number one, Amy Barilow is going to join us from Clean Wisconsin. We will be talking about water, I have a feeling.
We'll be talking about data centers.
And data centers and their thirst for Wisconsin's waters. Mm-hmm.
Will be fantastic examples in that discussion about how the regular citizens of those municipalities stand up and make their voices heard, too, because we've seen those coming through in the past few weeks when it comes to data centers.
Absolutely. And I just saw an article this morning that said a lot more people are looking into this, which is a good thing.
Yes.
That's a very good thing. So that's coming up on the show tomorrow. I hope you can join us. It is 10:54, Kelvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever stumble over a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. We are doing Halloween-themed tisbets this week. This is from Alaska News. Lucky nobody's got the byline. This is from CNN, actually. So this was reprinted.
Jake Tapper has the byline.
Reprinted by Alaska News. Headline reads, neighbors upset over Halloween display featuring skeletons in suggestive poses. Some neighbors in Mineola, Florida, upset over a Halloween display that features skeletons holding cigars, one on a stripper pole. A neighbor who complained says it's not your typical spooky decor. One person who lives across the street says, I don't see anything wrong with this. I have two kids. They laugh when they see skeletons dancing. This is not a problem for us. Others are not quite so happy. I don't see stripping as art, whether it's skeletons or cartoons. I don't want my kids exposed to sexual innuendos. We will include a link to this article so you can look at the picture.
There's a video, too.
There is also a video. Yeah. It's a skeleton and a pole with a leg up. They do use poles for exercise classes.
And also, like, you know what? You don't think pole dancing is an art. That's whatever. That's your opinion. That's absolutely fine. But people do it as exercise. They do it as entertainment. They do it that has nothing to do with taking your clothes off. And also, when you watch the video, if your kids are walking past it, my guess is they're barely going to notice it because it's not on the lawn. It's on the porch. The porch. It's white bone skeletons against a white house. It's actually, when they showed them, like, it can barely see it. The only way they're really going to be mindful of it is if you get upset and say, look at that terrible
thing. That's disgusting.
Just live your life and move on. The complainer is the thing that shouldn't be a bee.
A resident contacted the Homeowners Association.
Oh, no.
But, amazingly, the HOA said they can't do anything because residents can put up any holiday decor that they prefer. They advise the offended neighbor, just wait till Halloween is over because then it's going to go away.
Well, and also now I would love to see if there's a follow-up story for next year as far as the HOA board elections and whatnot.
And who's been kicked off the HOA?
HOAs wield a lot of power, and when they don't have power, they make sure that the next time around they get that power. And it's about keeping this complainer in Alaska quiet when really just have some fun and just like unclutch the pearls and live your life. Who cares?
You know, there's a whole bunch of things going on in our country that I find worth getting upset about.
Jenny on the live stream says, children are more oblivious and resilient than you give them credit for. Relax, y'all. Exactly. Yeah.
Take a breath, y'all.
Yeah. Take a breath, y'all.
Take a breath. Take a breath. And it'll be over soon.
Before you know it, I'm going to say by next week.
I would say by Saturday.
By Saturday, it could be down, and then it's just nothing there unless it's like suggestive pilgrims.
Now I have a new idea. That wraps up today's episode of.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Suggestive pilgrims. I'm just trying to figure out what that would even be. Thank you, Greg and Kelvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening and watching on the stream. It genuinely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Pete Schwaba, Robert Pilot, and so much more.
Don't go anywhere.
Just keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.